of Exodus, chapter 25 again. And I want to read the description of the candlestick, beginning in verse 31. Excuse me. Exodus chapter 25 and beginning in verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same, all it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. He starts off this chapter with the ark. Then came the mercy seat. After that comes the table. And now comes the design of the candlestick. First of all, the material is listed. There's one ingredient in the candlestick, and one only: gold. And not just gold, pure gold. The quality, the only quality or characteristic, or Walter, what he said, the only perfection shown in this material that makes up the candlestick is divinity. Gold means divine. Means deity. It means God. That's what's shown here in the candlestick. There's no wood in the making of the candlestick. There's no badger skin, no ram skin dyed red, no fine linen, no blue, no scarlet, no purple, no onyx stone, no gemstone, no brass, no silver. The candlestick is made of pure gold. And pure gold alone. That's enough right there just to say, okay, this candlestick is Christ. Because he's God. The candlestick is a picture of Christ. But it's a picture of Christ in his deity, in specific. Pure gold is what you make it out of. Because whatever the candlestick represents, it represents a portion of Christ's deity, divinity. In the ark and in the table of the showbread, you've got wood and gold. But in the mercy seat and the candlestick, all you've got is pure gold. Because Christ's perfect humanity is shown in his work, which is shown in the ark. Because inside the ark was put the unbroken law, Aaron's rod that budded, and a pot of manna, a golden pot of manna. That shows the perfections of Christ. On the table, you have his providing for us as the provider of the showbread. He knows what we need because he still is a man. He's still God, but he's been a man. And he provides for his people. But here in the candlestick, and also in the mercy seat. In the mercy seat, you only saw pure gold. In the candlestick, you only saw pure gold, because in the mercy seat, we saw God providing himself as a sacrifice for sin. The blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. In the candlestick, we see God, who is the light. That's Jesus Christ. The light of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ said it himself this way in John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He starts off, I am. Most of the time when Jesus Christ was talking, he was talking to Jews. In this New Testament that we have, he was in Israel. He went through Samaria, but he must have needed to go through there. Most of the time he was in Israel, he was talking to Jews. And he starts off this thing, and that was one of the things I remember Earl saying about the I Ams, about the book of John. And I told him I had a separate thing because I had the this is. Because there's a lot of this is the work of God. This is that. Here, I am the light of the world. I am. That's the way he starts off. The words of the Son of God. The Son of God, well beloved, only begotten. He said, I am the light of the world. I believe him. And I don't worry, because he didn't stop there. He kept going. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, I've heard that the one that follows Christ should not walk in darkness. That's what men say. That's not what Christ said. I've heard that we should walk in the Spirit, that we should walk in the light. And I understand some ways of saying that, but the only begotten Son of God, the Lord of glory, said, they shall not walk in darkness. The one that follows Christ shall have his light. I agree with Christ. If you got a problem with that, you can take it up with him. It doesn't say, I will tell you this, it doesn't say that I always see the light well. Because I'll stumble, I'll fall, but I'll not be utterly cast down. But it says, I'll not walk in darkness. Right. If you're in him, you shall not walk in darkness. And you shall have the light of life. if you're in the sanctuary, if you're in that tent, in what they called the holy place, you are in the light of the candlestick. Because that candlestick is to burn always. Continually filled with oil is that candlestick. It is to be made of pure olive oil. Now, oil is given in the scriptures as a type of the Holy Spirit. Another. The Holy Spirit is God. I want to say another aspect of God, but that's not right. Because it's kind of hard to get a hold of the fact that these three not only agree in one, these three do agree in one, these three are one. It's kind of a hard thing to grasp. Me and Walter usually, for the most part, agree in one, as far as the scripture is concerned. Other things, maybe not so much, but we are not one. We are brothers in Christ. We are believers of the same gospel, I believe. But those three are one. I like it, but I don't get it sometimes. And I can't explain it. But anyhow, oil is given usually as a type of the Holy Spirit. Actually, I believe it appeared once as of cloven tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. It's Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Because this, I always thought this was strange. When everybody talked about the candlestick, when I first heard of this. I think of a candlestick as a candlestick. It holds a candle. That's not what this is. This holds little bowls, had oil in them, that was continually filled. And that's what burned. It didn't have a candle that would go out and you'd have to replace it. You can, I've seen this done. You can fill an oil lamp while it's burning. Now you got to be careful. You don't have, the light never has to go out on this candlestick, even to refill it. This light was to burn always, continually. It was a straight shaft. It had six branches coming out of it. Seven lamps. Seven is the number of perfection. Three lamps on one side, three lamps on the other, and the one in the center. Seven is the number of perfection. Gold is the number, is the material of deity. So we got a perfect God. And we got light. And we have the perfect God of light. The perfect God who is light. I am the light of the world. And you went in that tent, you had light. Because you look at the design of that tent, we'll get to it maybe sometime or another. There's no windows. There's nothing in there. Inside of the holy place, none of the light comes through these windows. There is no window. The light inside the holy place comes from the candlestick and the candlestick alone. And there was always light inside the holy place. Believers are always in the light in Christ. Believers are always in the light, which is Christ. As believers are priests unto God, they are in the holy place. They are in Christ continually. Therefore, continually, they are in the light. Christ said they shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And believers do have the light of life because they have Christ. And Walter, it popped in my mind while I was doing this the other day. This is what I see in Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There was a big debate, evidently, that I didn't know anything about. Earl explained it to us. He said, see, some people don't like that, and Walter talked about this not that long ago, but I thought I'd put my two cents in. That there are people that say that part shouldn't be in that verse, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But I don't see that, and it is not there as a conditional statement. That in order for there to be no condemnation, who are in Christ Jesus, you have to walk after the flesh. You know, walk after the Spirit, but not after the flesh. That's the way some people preach it. They can, because they're going to twist so many other scriptures, it's not even funny. Because if that's what they think, and if that's what they believe, they got big problems anyway. But that's not what this says. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Because this statement doesn't say that you will have no condemnation if you walk after the Spirit. This is a statement in Romans 8:1, a fact. Believers are in Christ. Believers follow Him. Christ said that also. We are in the light because we are in Him. We walk after the Spirit because the Spirit is given to us to indwell us when God breathes life into us through the Spirit. Believers do not walk after the flesh. And like you said, Walter, it's three verses later. It repeats the same statement, and they're fine with that. And I don't understand that part. Believers do not walk after the flesh. They walk after the Spirit. This is a fact. Not a prerequisite for no condemnation. Believers will stumble. Believers will fall. Believers will fail. Believers will disappoint and grieve and complain and moan and whine. And I have done all of that. But I don't walk after the flesh. You don't walk after the flesh if you're in the light. We don't walk perfectly. No matter what some other people preach. There are people out there that preach sinless perfection. One of them, was it to David or somebody, said that I hadn't sinned in 17 years. Well, you've been dead? What? I don't understand. Well, I do. People are deceived.
Yeah.
People are deceived. See, they think sin is a deed. And sin can be a deed.
It is a deed.
It is a deed. But see, that's the only thing they think sin is. They don't know anything about Romans 7, and they show it every time they preach it. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's still true now. Even though I'm in the light. Even though I'm in Christ. Even though I've been forgiven. Even though I know I've been forgiven. Even though I was forgiven before I knew it. still in me, in this flesh, dwelleth no good thing. It's still there. But I got the light of life in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, the oil burning inside the tabernacle always. Believers may stumble and fall and disappoint and all those things, but they don't walk after the flesh because they are in the light. They are translated there by God. And by God, they are in the kingdom of His dear Son. And once a believer is translated into the tabernacle, the believer sees the light of the pure gold candlestick. And by the light of this pure gold candlestick, filled with this pure oil and burning brightly, in that tabernacle, you can see the table of the showbread then. You can see the provider and the provisions. And those provisions are made by the provider. Believers are not perfect, but the one who dwells, tabernacles in them, is perfect. God's gift is perfect. He provides everything for us because we cannot provide anything for Him, because in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Christ said more, said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That's John 12:46. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. God's running the light. Has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The only light in the sanctuary comes from the candlestick. And as we'll show later, maybe, there's a bunch of curtains over this thing. This tent, there's curtains over it of linen, and over that you've got ram skin dyed red. Over that you've got badger skin. It's dark in there. But there's light in there in that candlestick. Nothing comes inside the tabernacle from the outside. No light of any kind. It's all within. The sanctuary itself is a picture of Christ, with the badger skin outside. He had no beauty nor comeliness that we should desire Him. Mm-hmm. He looked just like everybody else. Yeah. But what do you find inside of Christ? You find the light in Christ. Inside of Christ is more Christ. I like that thought. Inside of Christ is more Christ. Inside the tabernacle is the candlestick with the light. Inside the tabernacle, that you can see by the light of the candlestick, is the table of the showbread, with the showbread on top of it and the frankincense, sweet incense, sweet spice sprinkled on it. And you can see inside of Christ. If you're in Christ, you can see, because the light of Christ is inside Christ. And it manifests, it shows the inside of Christ, who is the provider, who is our provision, And then there's that veil, and back there is the ark and the mercy seat. Inside of Christ is everything I need. Outside of Christ, there may be a waste howling wilderness. Even though manna falls from the sky. But inside that tabernacle is life, is food, is purity, is deity, is everything. Place where blood can be sprinkled and I can be made clean. Those inside the sanctuary, inside that holy place, can see because of the candlestick. Those inside Christ can see because Christ is the light. Walter read it the other day, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. He is the light. And translates those to whom he gives the seeing eye into the light so that they can see and we can learn and we can understand at least what he's revealed to us in his word. Inside of Christ is more Christ. And I've been doing this now, going on 27, 28 years. I learn something new every day, every week, all the time. And the weirdest thing about it is, and Deb and I have had this discussion, I think I've talked to you about this, Walter. When you learn something in this book that you hadn't seen before, and even when I was first starting, I would learn something in here that, because there's a lot of stuff. I started out pretty darn ignorant. I mean, seriously, I was a good Catholic. I didn't know jack about Christ. Them apostle guys, you know, I couldn't name the 12 of them. I probably can't right now. But when I started reading this after, and this is, you know, after God had given me life, and I started reading this, and I started hearing people talk about him. And some of the things, because I was in some Arminian places, some of the things didn't ring true. But a lot of it did. And I'd look in the book here, and I'd read something, and it's like, oh my God, that's right. And it's almost, it's the weirdest feeling I can think of to describe it. It's almost like deja vu. Like I've known this, but I hadn't known it. But I know it's true, and I don't know how I know it's true. And so that's where, you know, it kind of gets upsetting when people say, "Well, you just have blind faith." No, blind faith ain't blind.
No, faith is not blind.
Faith is the one thing in this world that's not blind. He said, whether he be sinner or no, I don't know. All I know is whereof once I was blind, but now I see. That's a good thing. You don't have to know a lot, but if you know that, you've come somewhere. And in this book, and it talks about it, that there are many who rest some of the things. There's some things, our brother Paul said, that's hard to be understood. And many people rest them to their own destruction. If you have to rest the scriptures to get it to make sense, you got a problem. And that's all there is to that. Now, there's some things I look at and I don't understand. I still believe them, but I don't understand. But the stuff about Christ, I don't really won't put it that way, because, but in some ways, the stuff about Christ is pretty easy. When I read about John the Baptist saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, taketh away the sins of the world," he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to baptize you." He said, "Do it anyway." Then later on, and that's a glorious moment, and it's a glorious revelation of Christ, and John the Baptist is there, and I rejoice when I read it. And then you read later on, there's John in jail sending out messengers to say, "Is this the guy?" I know that feeling. Because I'm human. Now, Christ is human, but he's also divine. And all the stuff in here about him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," it all rings true. It all is true. And I want to learn more of him. And that's why I come here. And that's why I like being here. And that's why I've liked being here for the last some odd years. And hopefully we'll continue on. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again.